Go ahead, George. George, you got to, that's better.
There you go. Okay, gotcha. And muted is probably a good thing for some people. Anyways, welcome. And it's so good to see you all. And thank you very much for allowing us to join you this morning for the remembering of the beloved Savior. That was very, very refreshing for us. I would like to turn to Philippians chapter 2, please, for a bit of a meditation in that chapter. And I'm going to rely on your already previous knowledge on some of the aspects of this chapter. I'll just remind you, Philippians chapter 2 is about is the famous passage there that we refer to often of let this mind be in you and the Lord being in the form of God and humbling himself. But let's pray and ask the Lord for help before we continue on the thoughts. Father, again, we just thank you for this morning, for the time to be able to spend time together as the beloved saints, the body of Christ, and to remember him as he has requested of us to do this in remembrance of him. But we also are very conscious of the next statement that we do this until he come. And so we're saying, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, we long to be with you. Give us understanding this morning, Father, as we meditate on a few of the passages here. And we just trust you with it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2. I was going to read the whole chapter, but I think for time's sake, I'm just going to move ahead to the portion that I want to express and have meditation on this morning. But the first four verses would refer to our Christian conduct, right? Let nothing be done, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. And then verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then there's that passage that, again, we're also, I'm sure, quite familiar with, the Lord Jesus Christ humbling himself and becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And then verses 12 to 16 of the chapter then give us a bit more of a practical outworking of what God is inworking. So we're expressing the things that we've just learned about in the previous part of the chapter, and we're outworking these things, what God is working in us. But then verse 17 to 30, probably not spoken of too much or examined maybe enough, but these are examples of three men, three brothers that amplified or were examples of what has just been previously said in the chapter, in Philippians chapter 2. And the first one of these three is Paul. And he's spoken of in verses 17 and 18. So let's read that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. It says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So Paul is in prison in Rome, I believe, and he's writing a letter to the Philippians here, and he's got joy. He's rejoicing, and which is amazing considering the position and the predicament that he's in. But we have to remember that Paul was a very proud and haughty Pharisee. We know that from his past. He was glorying in his own righteousness, burning with a hatred against any of those who claimed to be in Christ, to have received Christ. And then we know that he had an amazing experience on the Damascus Road. And the sight of the once crucified Savior was the means of his conversion, so radical and so sudden that from that moment on, the one desire overpowering all else, the innermost yearning of his being, was to reveal Christ in all his ways. Paul was not a sinless man, neither was he without the infirmities common to the human race. But he was one who always sought to judge himself in the light of the cross of Christ and with the power of Christ resting on him. So Paul lived a life summed up in the words that are expressed in Galatians, says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And that's from Galatians 6, verse 14. So here's Paul in a Roman prison writing this letter to the Philippians. And he says, I'm offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. The Philippians had, according to Paul, made a tremendous sacrifice by sending him practical fellowship. And we'll read about that in a few minutes from Epaphroditus was the messenger of this practical fellowship. The Philippians had made a tremendous sacrifice. So he considered their sacrifice to be great, and his sacrifice, which possibly could be martyrdom soon, to be offered upon their sacrifice. Right? Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. The idea of Paul is in order to render the Philippian sacrifice offering what it should be, to make it as complete and acceptable to God as possible, it was necessary for him to pour out his own life as wine was poured out to prepare a sacrifice for the altar and make it complete, to make it a sweet savor unto the Lord. And for reference to that, you can read Numbers chapter 15 and other passages to learn a bit more about that aspect. So Paul would not refuse to do it, but would rejoice in the opportunity. He would rejoice in the opportunity of being a sacrifice upon their sacrifice. Paul considered their sacrifice to be the main sacrifice, and his to be the minor sacrifice. So that reminds me then of Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I pray, beloved saints, I pray that these meditations will encourage us to carry on with our life in Christ and our sacrifice for others. And then the next example is Timothy, verses 19 to 24 of Philippians chapter 2. Timothy, verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. A like-minded brother. Timothy, I'm gathering from this passage, and of course from other portions of Scripture and the epistles written to him, Timothy had the heart of a shepherd, of a pastor. And that shepherd pastor person is one who's concerned about the state of the souls of the believers. Our standing before God is one thing, but our actual state, our Christian walk, is another. And a pastor shepherd is concerned about the state of the soul of the believer. We are saved, yes, but what condition are we in right now? And this is Timothy's heart. How are the Christian brothers and sisters doing? Paul was anxious to send Timothy to Philippi so that he could be a help and be a means of blessing to the flock there. Paul could not rest until he knew that there was harmony and like-mindedness in this little flock. Timothy was like-minded, like Paul, his spiritual father. Timothy was deeply concerned with the welfare of the Philippians, a sincere tenderness and concern. And Paul said he is like-minded. Paul was concerned about their state. If you look at the end of verse 19, he says, "When I know your state," deep concern. And so Paul sent Timothy, who would naturally care for their state. Verse 20, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." And then he reminds us in verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." All seek their own. There probably could have been many who Paul could have sent on this mission of reconciliation, but as then, so now, there are many who are more interested in self than in others. When you think about it, it's a very sad statement. The concern for others is very often overlooked by the care for self. So hopefully there are a few in the gatherings of Christians who, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the second half, that there are Christians that are in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Timothy was one of like-mindedness. So Paul sent him. Let not this be true of us, dear brothers and sisters, that we are ones that are seeking our own interests and not Christ's. Very few are willing to sacrifice their time, their things, their talents, and themselves for the sake of others. And yet, even fewer will sacrifice everything for the cause of Christ. Just before I leave Timothy, the thoughts here, I just want to draw your attention to verse 22 again. "But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." Do we know of another father and son who the father sent the son to care for and repair the lost estate of others? Let this mind be in you. And thirdly, Epaphroditus. Verse 25 to 29, I'm sorry, 25 to 30. T Verse 25 says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be less, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Epaphroditus was the one who took the long journey from Philippi to Rome and then back to Philippi to bring Paul the fellowship offering from the saints to Paul in Rome. Epaphroditus, a Christian brother, a colleague in toil, a fellow soldier in the scenes of danger and conflict. Harsh conditions, dangerous journey, he determined to go anyways. And we can only imagine the danger of traveling in those areas, in those days, and especially carrying money. But he determined to go. And yet, while in Rome, he became ill, nigh unto death. And it must have been of some duration for the news to travel all the way back to Philippi. This devoted messenger was the example of the mind of Christ, as described in the beginning of this chapter. He may not have been physically strong, but he was a man who did not spare himself. In the work of Christ, he became sick and almost died, sacrificing himself for the welfare of others. I have to ask myself, can I claim that level of sacrifice for the Lord and for his church? In the case of this man of God, sickness was the result of his self-denying activity on behalf of those to whom he ministered. Do we know anyone like that? That sacrifices to that level? His illness was the cause of deep sorrow for Paul, and no doubt led to much prayer on his behalf. And thankfully, God answered, showing mercy and raising him up. So Paul urged the saints in Philippi to receive this messenger with gladness, and when he returned to them, he commanded them to hold him in high esteem because he had been deathly ill for the cause of Christ. Like the Lord Jesus, Epaphroditus made himself of no reputation. Those who are willing to take the lowly path and not seek great things for themselves are the ones whom the Lord will exalt in due time one day. Let me read that again. Those who are willing to take the lowly path and not seek great things for themselves are the ones whom the Lord will exalt in due time. So, some concluding thoughts here and challenges. What we have here is beneficial lessons that can be learned from the lives of these three devoted men of God. May we have the grace and the resolve to follow the examples of Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus as they followed the example of Christ. There are few who truly pursue a self-sacrificing life. And amazingly, those that do pursue a self-sacrificing life, usually their sanity is questioned. Genuine Christian love seeketh not its own. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, says love seeks not its own. Nothing is done through strife or vainglory. Others are esteemed greater than oneself, always looking to better others, not on your own things. Again, can I see myself there? There are a great variety of ways to be used in the work of the Lord, but each opportunity has a high probability of costing you something. And in some cases, everything. So, dear beloved brothers and sisters, let us be sacrificial like Paul. Let us be compassionate like Timothy. And let us be faithful no matter what the cost, like Epaphroditus. And then, like Paul says, joy, rejoice. Rejoicing in the laboring, the soldiering, the sacrificing, the suffering. Our Lord walked this path. And so did Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. Imagine what would become of our families, our gatherings, our churches, our community, if we would be of one mind and of one accord, having this mind of Christ. And when I was finishing up these thoughts, as a last moment thought came into my mind, and I'm trusting it's from the Lord, I was reminded of a verse in Job chapter 42, verse 10. And you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it for you. But Job 42, verse 10 says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." My last statement is from Major Ian Thomas. "Christ gave his life for you, that he might give his life to you, and that he might live his life through you." Thank you for listening. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're just grateful again for your word and for just the thoughts that we can glean from it, Father. Is just sometimes we read over these passages so quickly and don't dig deep into them. But when you do help us to dig a little deeper into your Holy Spirit, helps us to understand more and more, and we see the gems in there. We're very conscious of this particular passage now and the teaching that it gives us, but also, Father, it convicts us. But Father, may it not be just conviction, but may it be action. May it truly be something to motivate us into the service of the body and the glorifying of the Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.